Happy Friday, and thank you for joining me today. Welcome to the Jeremiah Patterson Show. This is a TJPS special report. So he lost a boxing match in the White House. What? He lost a boxing match to his White House military aide. And apparently they were very close because in addition to having that job, he also was the boxing partner of the president, who loved the sport very much. And so on one day in 1904 in the White House, President Theodore Roosevelt and his boxing buddy slash military aide were boxing. And Roosevelt got struck so hard in the eye that he lost sight in it. I mean, apparently the dude was really, really into the game that he struck the president of the United States so hard in his left eye that he became permanently blind. He literally became partially blind in one eye. And that's not the only crazy thing to happen under the Roosevelt presidency. I mean, it's a very, very adventurous time in American history. Roosevelt, even still today, is also known for essentially being the only president with the most exotic pets. The White House literally became a zoo under his term with 21 different pets, from bears to lizards, lions, pigs, and zebras, also coyotes. All the things that you can think of that people would typically be scared of or think of, you know, like conceivable outside animals. He had all of them in his house with his six children and his wife. It was truly a fantastical moment in American presidential life. They both happened under the two terms that he was in office. There was talk of him potentially running for a third term, which was not yet precluded by the Constitution until his cousin, Franklin D. Roosevelt, decided to go for four terms, just four decades down the road. But Roosevelt ended up retiring and living a very comfortable, lavish lifestyle. He wrote books, as he was a very prolific writer. He spent time with his family, and about 2 years after his presidency, a congressional committee started doing some digging. And what they were turning up was not very pleasing. In fact, they had questions, because the behavior found was indeed quite suspicious to them. That congressional committee was investigating former President Theodore Roosevelt. He did not get subpoenaed, but instead he took the advice of the committee, which said that his testimony would be greatly appreciated. And so he obliged and he willingly testified. He appeared before Congress. It was about the U.S. Steel deal and corporate donations to his 1902 presidential campaign. And at this point, he had been a private citizen for more than 2 years when on August 5th, 1911, he became the first former president in the 20th century to testify before Congress. Roosevelt seemingly was just unperturbed by this. He simply said, quote, "An ex-president is merely a citizen of the United States like any other citizen, and it is his plain duty to try to help this committee or respond to its invitation." End quote. So that was just a century ago. And even in its time, that was definitely a big deal. I mean, yes, there were prior examples of former presidential testimony like John Tyler in 1846, before Congress, but willingly testifying as a former president was not heard of yet. A former president being subpoenaed by Congress is not unprecedented, but a former president being subpoenaed by the U.S. Congress in an effort to investigate an insurrection against the United States government, well, yes, that is unprecedented. And that's what happened yesterday when the January 6th committee essentially served the former president, Donald John Trump. Now, this is a congressional subpoena, so what does this mean exactly? Well, usually in a civil or criminal court, if you get served, it's under penalty, which means you are commanded by the courts to hand over specific pieces of evidence or show up in court. If you defy that order, you could be held in contempt of court, or have to pay a fine, or even be arrested for not obeying that court-mandated order. If you are subpoenaed by the United States Congress, well, that's a bigger deal. You can either show up and produce documents or not and risk being held in contempt of Congress, which could lead to a federal indictment, a fine, or even imprisonment. Presidents have definitely defied subpoenas before, especially at the very beginning of our republic. Thomas Jefferson, for example, was served with a subpoena to give documents and testimony in the trial of his vice president, the treason trial of his vice president, Aaron Burr. Jefferson said, I'll give you some documents, but I'm not going to sit down and actually testify for you. His rationale was basically the presidency of the United States is so large and complex and busy that I wouldn't even have time to do that. So the Supreme Court basically looked at that case and said, okay, Jefferson, we agree with you. You do have a good point there. And so after that, a whole host of presidents have followed that pursuit of refusing to testify, whether it be before Congress or a civil or criminal court. High-profile examples like Nixon refusing to hand over tapes during Watergate, only just a little bit of evidence until the Supreme Court ruled, hey, in the summer of 1974, hey, Nixon, you gotta hand over those tapes, all of them, before Congress. And also during the Monica Lewinsky affair with Bill Clinton. But watching what happened yesterday, this truly unprecedented sight, one of the big questions many are asking now is, will he? Will Donald Trump testify before the January 6th committee? To that, there is a most likely a clear and definite no. But I guess the next question you could ask is, does he? Does he have to testify? And if not, what are his other options? Well, I mean, practically speaking, pragmatically speaking, according to an 1857 law, it is a crime to defy a congressional subpoena, risking jail time. But the former president, Donald Trump, essentially his entire life has always evaded the criminal law, has always evaded the legal system by pulling these crooks and tricks and stuff. And I mean, yeah, per that 1857 law being a crime to defy a congressional subpoena, we have seen examples of that actually play out where you are risking jail time. Steve Bannon, a former Trump advisor, is facing right now up to 2 years in prison for refusing to testify before the January 6th committee. Other Trump aides are also facing that same fate. Another option on the table for Trump is to appear behind closed doors for a deposition or to negotiate some type of cooperation. Now, if he appears behind closed doors for a deposition, he can just not say anything. And I know what you're probably thinking, Jeremiah, then what is the point? That's so unproductive. That's not helpful. Basically, he can do that. And what he would do in that case would be to invoke his right to avoid self-incrimination under the Fifth Amendment. And according to the committee, more than 30 witnesses have already gone down that road. They have already done that. And it's not like taking that approach is Trump's saving grace, because for the people who've already done it, it just looks terrible. I mean, pleading the Fifth Amendment in an investigation about your involvement in the overthrowing of the U.S. government, substituting that to avoid talking, further incriminating yourself, that does not look good. I mean, how does it look if you are pleading the Fifth in an investigation about the insurrection against the United States of America? Oh, I can't talk about the coup plot because I may have been involved. I don't want to incriminate myself, so I'm just going to plead the Fifth. I mean, how does that look? And so, hypothetically, if Trump were to actually answer questions in a hypothetical deposition, I mean, it most likely will not be truthful, given his history, a literal track record of embellishing and just plainly lying in depositions. So that's another least likely option. What is presumably going to happen is this essentially doesn't go anywhere, and he deliberately runs out the clock by fighting it in court. Trump has done this numerous times before in the past and could yield promising results. Why do I say that? Because this is not just a regular year in American politics. It's an election year, specifically the midterms, meaning lots of congressional seats are up for grabs. And Democrats control both houses of Congress right now. And they control both the House and also the Senate. The January 6th committee is under the 117th Congress, and it is bipartisan. It's in the House, where Democrats have a slim majority, a thin majority there. Per historical record, what typically happens in a midterm election year is the party of the incumbent president loses seats and the opposite gains seats. And so Republicans are expected to take control of the House this year, and a large majority of them oppose this committee, meaning they are in crunch time here. Because if Republicans win the House this year, if they win and they take control in January, this committee is not going to exist anymore. And that subpoena will no longer be relevant to the former president. There will not be a bipartisan committee investigating the January 6th insurrection anymore. It will all be gone. And in yesterday's hearing, essentially what we think is their final hearing, they may surprise us again. They have been known to do that in the past. We just got bombshell after bombshell revealed, especially at the very, very top.
Although he publicly claimed that he had won the election, privately, he admitted that Joe Biden would take over as president. Here's a few examples of that.
So we're in the Oval and there's a discussion going on. And the president says, I think it could have been Pompeo, but he says words to the effect of, yeah, we lost, we need to let that issue go to the next guy, meaning President Biden.
I remember maybe a week after the election was called, I popped into the Oval just to like give the president the headlines and see how he was doing. And he was looking at the TV and he said, can you believe I lost to this effing guy?
Mark raised it with me on the A-team. And so following that conversation where the motorcade ride driving back to the White House, and I said, like, does the president really think that he lost? And he said, you know, a lot of times he'll tell me that he lost, but he wants to keep fighting it. And he thinks that there might be enough to overturn the election, but, you know, he pretty much has acknowledged that he's lost.
That's how it starts. He knew the election was over and Biden had won, but still publicly promoted false claims that it was rigged. And on top of that, way before the election, Trump and his allies were already not only anticipating violence, but also his annunciation that he won, even though the results were obviously not going to be clear on election night because votes were still legally being counted. And yeah, it's not just election night, it's practically election week. I mean, we're in a pandemic. And I mean, from there, it just gets even more intense.
The Democrats, more of our people vote early that count. Theirs voted mail. And so they're going to have a natural disadvantage, and Trump's going to take advantage of it. That's our strategy. He's going to clear himself a winner. So when you wake up Wednesday morning, it's going to be a firestorm. You're going to have Antifa crazy, the media crazy, the courts are crazy, and Trump's going to be sitting there mocking, tweeting shit out, you lose. I'm the winner. I'm the king. Also, if Trump is losing by 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it's going to be even crazier. Because he's going to sit right there and say they stole it. I'm directing the attorney general to shut down all ballot places in all 50 states. It's going to be no. He's not going out easy. If Biden's winning, Trump is going to do some crazy shit.
Quote, if Biden is winning, Trump's going to do some crazy bleep. So that's Steve Bannon there, speaking in a leaked audio message released by Mother Jones a couple months ago. Steve Bannon has since confirmed that live audio message. The committee has played that in rotation multiple times. Once again, Mr. Bannon is now facing up to 2 years in prison after being indicted by the Justice Department for contempt of Congress. All of this is happening at once. And there's more. As I was watching the hearing live yesterday, you definitely got the sense that this was going to be another blockbuster historic set of revelations. But what I was not prepared for was actual documentary footage of congressional leaders effectively leading the nation in trying to get the insurrection at the Capitol under control. I'm going to play it for you here. You're going to hear it audibly, but if you have not seen this, go on YouTube and please, please watch it. It's truly astounding.
Senator Schumer is at a secure location, and they're locked down in the Senate.
There has to be some way we can maintain the sense that people have that there's some security or some confidence that government can function and that we can elect the President of the United States.
The concern we have about personal harm,
safety.
Personal safety is just transcends everything, but the fact is on any given day they're breaking the law in many different ways, and quite frankly much of it at the instigation of the President of the United States.
I'm at the Capitol building. I'm literally standing with the chief of police of the U.S. Capitol Police. He just informed me what you will hear through official channels, Paul Irving, your sergeant in arms, will inform you that their best information is that they believe that the House and the Senate will be able to reconvene in roughly an hour.
So that's congressional leaders speaking there. I mean, truly absolutely astonishing to hear that, but also just to see it, I mean, in real time, I mean, truly historic and astonishing set of revelations that we got there yesterday. That documentary footage, once again, compiled by the Speaker of the House's daughter, Nancy Pelosi's daughter there, Nancy Pelosi is also on record in this new footage that we got, seen and exclusively obtained more of that footage, and this is what Nancy Pelosi said here, quote, "I'm gonna punch him out, I'm gonna go to jail, and I'm gonna be happy," end quote. Speaker Pelosi said that in reference to the president apparently still hinting at him potentially coming down to Capitol Hill. Now, a Speaker of the House has never been on the record to privately or publicly say something like that, to want to punch the President of the United States. But beyond that, as shocking as that was, one of the most revelatory news in the hearing is what the Secret Service knew and exactly when they knew it. And, I feel like that was truly, just an astonishing set there. Because, for months now, what we have been dealing with the United States Secret Service is deleted text messages. Oh, we wiped our systems clear. We didn't exactly know that you were going to need this type of evidence. The Secret Service's story on this has gone back and forth and back and forth. From the very forefront, the United States Secret Service has been a huge center of this committee's investigation. Just months ago, Cassidy Hutchinson, a former aide to White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, she gave a very stunning and explosive, just a bombshell testimony before the January 6th committee. And she definitely noted some various and just stark allegations about exactly what took place in the presidential car on the ride back to the White House. The president apparently attacking a Secret Service agent, reaching for his clavicle after being told no, that he cannot go to the Capitol. I'm the effing president, take me to the Capitol now. That incident happening in a car by Anthony Ornato, a senior Secret Service official, minutes after it happened in the presence of the agent, according to the Washington Post, Trump allegedly attacked, who appeared to be shaken up. That agent was shaken up just minutes, right after it happened, telling that to Cassidy Hutchinson in the office of Tony Ornato there in the White House. And so that stunning testimony, along also with what Secret Service agents knew, the committee revealing new text messages and also just evidence yesterday. It was truly astounding. This is some of what we have here. A CTS intelligence summary on January 4th of 2021 notes essentially that they were receiving and reviewing evidence that mentioned calls to occupy federal buildings, intimidating Congress and invading the Capitol building, arm themselves, and to engage in political violence at the event. This is a Secret Service email from December 26, 2020. Pay attention to these timelines here. 9:21 p.m., quote, "They think that they will have a large enough group to march into D.C. armed and will outnumber the police so they can't be stopped. Their plan is to literally kill people. Please, please take this tip seriously and investigate further. The Proud Boys have detailed their plans on multiple websites such as www.thedonald.win, end quote. This was an email to the United States Secret Service, a tip, tipping them on what exactly is going to happen. This is another message from the Secret Service. Quote, "President Trump supporters have proposed a movement to occupy Capitol Hill. The hashtags We Are The Storm, 1776 Rebel, and Occupy Capitals have gained attention as the protest on January 6, 2021 approaches." Quote, "Morning, calm before the storm, I assume." This is on January 6th. These are Secret Service agents texting back and forth. "And I are all good, pulling up live streams and watching the crazies," end quote. These are Secret Service communications. Quote, "Possibly because they have stuff that can't come through would probably be an issue with this crowd, just a thought." When they're talking about stuff that can't come through, they're talking about essentially these rifles and these large guns that Trump supporters have. Trump wants these people to come into the crowd, but they cannot pass Secret Service checkpoints with weapons like that, so they're having to stay all the way back. And so that creates this frustration among Trump about why essentially he cannot get, a bigger crowd. We're going to have more reporting on that front, that aspect of this, a bit later on, but I just want to end with this. This is what Donald Trump said after the violence that took place on the Capitol on January 6th. He said, quote, "These are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election is victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who have been badly and unfairly treated for so long. Go home with love and peace. Remember this day forever. Go home with love and peace. Remember this day forever. End quote. The way the president then said that at the time, remember this day forever, he's not saying this in some sort of, oh, solemn, very sober occasion, like 9/11. The president says, remember this day forever, with an exclamation mark. This is a very jubilant occasion for him. He's saying this jubilantly. This day should be adulated. You are patriots. You are warriors. Thank you for doing this for our country. Thank you for fighting the big fight here. Thank you for at least attempting to keep me in office. This was a plot. This was a coup plot to overthrow the United States government. This was going to happen. They were going to succeed in overthrowing the United States government. If they succeeded, we would not be a democracy right now. If they succeeded, we would no longer be a democratic republic. And think about the timeline on this as well. This is January 6, 2021. After the insurrection has taken place, Trump is telling his supporters to go home with love and peace. He says, after this, you know, election, these are the things that happen when an election landslide victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stolen. We know from this hearing, Trump allies and his aides know that the president lost the election. He knows that he lost the election. He literally says to one of his aides walking into his office, can you believe I left because I lost to this effing guy? He knows he lost the election. He's continuously pushing these unsubstantiated allegations of voter fraud, these false claims that, oh, somehow he lost the election, it was rigged. He knows that he lost the election. He did not win. He knew that well in advance, months before January 6th, yet he continuously pushed those allegations of voter fraud and falsely claiming that he won. Donald Trump is still doing that now. The midterm elections are 23 days away. The former president is still doing this. About 200 Republican candidates running for Congress right now are running on the big lie that, oh yeah, the 2020 election was stolen. Trump should be our rightful president. Do you understand the danger we are up against? The danger that our Democratic Republic is falling into? We are literally on the precipice of disaster. On the verge of a civil war. I mean, all of this is happening at once. Extremism being very, very rampant. Attacks against prosecutors. Attacks against FBI agents for the raid that was recently conducted at Mar-a-Lago. For the president literally stealing classified information from the White House. All of these are writings on the wall. These are all signs. As the former president is talking about running again for 2024. I mean, these are not distant threats that we can just chill and look back now and be like, okay, that's not going to happen again. These are still clear and present dangers to our democratic republic. Our democracy still remains very, very much under attack. If we as citizens do not counter that, then we are going to lose it. We cannot just depend on the criminal justice system to punish this type of behavior. We cannot just depend on the current sedition trial for the Oath Keepers to punish this type of behavior and put those people away in jail. We also have to hold those people accountable ourselves. Society as a whole has to fight fascism, has to fight authoritarianism and autocracy and autocrats to prevent them from ever holding power again. If we as citizens do not do our part and just put too much pressure and faith and, you know, hope in the criminal justice system, we are not going to get anywhere. We are not going to continue to succeed and to thrive as a liberal democracy. That is the threat that we are currently up against today if we do not do anything about it. We as citizens also have to hold those officials accountable and not just depend on the criminal justice system to arrest them and to indict them and to charge them and put them away for good. We have to do our work. We have to do our part to fight that authoritarianism and autocracy and fascism as well. Or else it will continue to rise and it will continue to grow and it will come back with a veneer that is so powerful, that is so strong, that it cannot be defeated the next time. And that type of power, that type of vitriolic, political, strongman comeback will definitely destroy democracy for good. It is up to us as the citizens to act now before it is too late. We'll be right back.
I love my new home. I always wanted a house with historic architecture, but it might be too Victorian.
Oh gosh, what an interesting hemline on those pants.
Yes, I do believe they're called pants.
Pardon me.
No, pardon me. At least Geico makes bundling my home and car insurance easy. I save so much.
I have come to call upon...
Just text me. Well, I'm heading up.
It's a ghost.
For bundling made easy, go to geico.com.
It's called self-care.
Welcome back. While the January 6th committee hearings were taking place yesterday, the United States Supreme Court rejected former President Trump's request to intervene in Mar-a-Lago documents fight. This is from CNN, quote, "The Supreme Court on Thursday rejected an emergency request from former President Donald Trump to intervene in the dispute over classified documents seized from his Mar-a-Lago estate in August. Trump had asked the justices to reverse a federal appeals court and allow a special master to review about 100 documents marked classified, a move that could have opened the door for his legal team to review the records and argue that they should be off limits to prosecutors in a criminal case. But in a brief order, the court denied the request. There were no noted dissents. For now, the documents will stay out of the reach of the special master. The court's decision steers the court away from the political fray at a time when approval ratings of the 6-3 conservative-leaning court have dipped to new lows, essentially among liberals, including President Joe Biden, have attacked the legitimacy of the institution. The order was issued during the hearing of the House Select Committee's investigation of the January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol attack. Calling the records, quote, extraordinarily sensitive, the Justice Department has asked the court to stay out of the dispute while legal challenges play out. End quote. So that was breaking news yesterday. Today, the Justice Department has now asked an appeals court to end the Mar-a-Lago special master thing. So this is where Trump and his legal team essentially have asked a special master to step in here to essentially look at and review these documents, these classified documents that the president stole, to be over this whole thing. Well, the Justice Department said, no, nice try. Quote, prosecutors said the unclassified documents seized at Mar-a-Lago are also critical to their classified documents investigation. This is the lead. Quote, the Justice Department asked a federal appeals court to reverse a Florida judge order appointing a special master to review documents seized from Donald Trump's home and club, arguing that the former president had no right to possess the seized materials after he left office, and that there was no legal basis for an outside review. While prosecutors had already appealed portions of U.S. District Court Judge Aileen M. Cannon's special master appointment, Friday was the first time they appealed the entire court order. If the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit sides with the government, meaning sides with the Justice Department in this case, the special master's review would stop and criminal investigators once again would be permitted to access thousands of unclassified documents that FBI agents took from Mar-a-Lago in August. The government said in its appeal that those unclassified documents are critical to its ongoing criminal probe of possible mishandling in classified material, obstruction, and destruction of government records, and it could help them conduct witness interviews and also corroborate evidence. Quote, in short, the unclassified records that were stored collectively with records bearing classification markings may identify who was responsible for the unauthorized retention of these records, the relevant time periods in which records were created or accessed, and who may have accessed or seen them. End quote. That is according to the filing that the government has just issued here with this major, major request here. Prosecutors, once again, noting in this 53-page ruling today that Trump, essentially, he has no right to essentially assert here that, hey, we should have a special master review these documents instead. DOJ, I don't trust you guys. We should have a special master here. I mean, just truly astonishing as we're watching all this play out. Once again, completely history. And, oh yeah, did I mention on top of that he was just unanimously subpoenaed yesterday by the January 6th committee. That was a 9-0 vote. 9-0. Unanimous. I mean, a lot is happening right now in our country. A lot is happening in the former president's life and his quest to potentially run for president again. Once again, we're 24 days away from the midterm elections. Eyes open, heads up, stay focused, stay informed.
Whether you put down your phone to be there for your daughter, or pick up your phone to call a helpline for your roommate, when it comes to mental health, now more than ever, every action counts.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Jeremiah Patterson Show. Much appreciated. Once again, this is one of the shorter episodes as we are developing and changing content. New episode will be released tomorrow. Stay safe and take care.